Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 189 of the Mom Hour. I'm Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers. What's up, Sarah?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We're really excited about this because, first of all, we are kicking off the new year with a two-parter, which, can I just say, I'm really proud of us for not even taking any breaks last year, let alone like kicking it off with two episodes that were kind of like planning out back to back.
And it's January 1 today.
And it's January 1.
We're wasting no time, guys.
We're wasting no time. But we're really excited about this because we love talking about planning and fresh starts and intentions and all that. So we're devoting two whole episodes to this idea of setting intentions for your life, especially for busy moms. And, you know, I know the word of the year thing is very popular right now on Instagram, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. But I think there's all kinds of ways to set intentions, and it doesn't have to look like that.
Yeah. And I also think there's times in your life where like your only intention might be to get through the day and yell less at your kids. And that's also okay. So I think I know I'm going to talk about some years where I kind of felt discouraged about everyone around me being all lofty about this because I was just in the weeds. So if that's you, I think this is still a really good conversation to have this time of year. And you may realize that like, there's small intentions you can set that don't have to mean that you're going to like start a business this year.
No, and it can, and the one thing I do like about the word, and we'll get more into this in a little bit, but it can be literally just in the back of your head. It doesn't even have to be an action. It could just literally be something that you reflect on, which I think can be really helpful. The other thing I want to point out is we do not think this all has to be done by January 1st. So if you're listening to this like January 1st and freaking out because you haven't even thought about 2019 yet, hello, like we've all been there. So just give yourself time. Like you've got a whole year. There's many weeks ahead of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm excited.
Me too.
Well, I'm also really excited. We are welcoming back Lion Rock Recovery as a sponsor today. And this is great timing because we're all doing this kind of self-reflection about our health and wellness right now with the new year. And Lion Rock provides online substance abuse counseling. So it's totally in line with what we talked about recently, Megan, in our episode when we talked about drinking culture and motherhood.
Yeah, we were talking about how difficult it can be to really know, like, is my drinking problematic? And moms in particular are often really hesitant to get help because, you know, our lives are tricky and complicated and we have a lot going on. Actually, I didn't know this, but it turns out only about 10% of the 20 million Americans struggling with substance use get help because of stigma, inconvenience, privacy issues, or maybe just you're not sure if your problem is really big enough, like a big enough problem. Those are all reasons a mom in particular might avoid getting help in a traditional setting.
Yeah. And so most of us think that drug or alcohol treatment means going away to a treatment center. But as moms, that's a huge obstacle. Most of us couldn't even really like figure out how to take the first step unless things got really, really dire. But as we've discussed, it doesn't have to be dire to sort of look into this. Research shows that outpatient treatment, like what Lion Rock provides, is just as effective. And just to be clear, when we're talking about outpatient here, it's outpatient online, as in never leaving your home.
Yeah, they actually do the sessions via video conference. And they offer flexible schedules for moms who are busy with their little ones during the day. We know that like making that first call is one of the hardest things, especially when people are thinking about that mythical rock bottom we always talk about, you know? So they have a couple of really easy ways to get started. So you can schedule a free phone consultation. You can take a free quiz at their website, or you can live chat with one of their admissions counselors. And all those can be ways to kind of test the waters for
you. Yeah, just one little step. And I also love that if Lion Rock isn't the right solution for you, they will let you know. They're not going to hard sell you. They can even direct you toward local resources if something inpatient or local or face-to-face is a better option for you. So guys, it's the new year and we want your 2019 to be the healthiest and happiest it can be. And if this is an area where you need help, we think Lion Rock is a great place to start.
Yeah. And to make that first contact, and guys, we know it's scary, so we're super proud of you. Just go to lionrockrecovery.com/mom, and you're going to see a special page they created just for our listeners. And just know that once you get there, everything is completely private and secure right from the first click. So you don't have to worry about that. You can explore the site in a way that is comfortable to you. Again, that is lionrockrecovery.com/mom. All right. We got to dig in.
I think so.
My word of the day, the way I'm feeling about this episode is excited, but apprehensive. Those are two words.
Yeah, those are two good words. You and I are word people.
We are word people. So I want to talk about this whole word of the year idea to begin with. So it came on my radar probably, well, I don't know. I'm starting to really lose track of time in my old age, but like 6 or 7 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
But it has been a thing online. You found a reference to it going back to 2006.
Yeah. So Allie Edwards popular blogger. And I think her course and her materials are branded One Little Word.
Yeah.
And so she's definitely had a community around this. And I think on the blog post I read, she said she's been doing it since 2006. I think she's had her kind of official branding around it since maybe 2010 or 11, like what you were saying, Megan.
So. Yeah. Well, and the idea is that you just choose a single word that is kind of the overarching theme to guide all of your intentions or resolutions or goals or whatever you call them, right? So like, however you like to structure those things in your life, you have this one word. I've seen it. I've seen people use everything from love to abundance to enough. Like, I mean, it's much more of an intuitive and emotional thing, I think, than like, you know, success.
Yeah.
Although the words that could be one too.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah. Cash. No, it's definitely abstractions, I think, are like, and it's fun to see how, you know, everything goes in trends, right? Like simplicity was so in for a while. Yep. And like, now I think we're coming into this like kind of female empowerment space and a lot of it's more, it's just interesting to see how the trends have evolved. But yes, it's usually something abstract and something that can kind of guide every area of your life. So like we were saying at the beginning, it's not like a goal that you're going to either achieve or fail, or a resolution that you're going to keep or not keep. It's an idea. And I like that. I like that aspect of it.
Yeah. I always, you know me and you, Sarah, we are both contrarians about trendy things. And I have to admit this one's no exception. I actually think I chose a word of the year, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago before it had blown up. And it's one of those things, I think I thought of it, but it was like somewhere in the collective consciousness. You know how that happens?
Right.
Like, I probably saw a word that someone else said, and I was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool to set a word, you know, pick a word for my intention for the year. And then it turned out everyone was already starting to do it. That happens a lot. But so I did resist it for a bit, but I'm kind of coming back to the idea of it. Just as it took me 5 years to start watching The Sopranos after everyone else was into it or whatever, sometimes I have to circle back around. And what I do love about the word is that it's so low pressure. Like, it really is.
Yeah.
It's just between you and the word. You don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to actually show anything that proves that you did it. You know, you can, but you don't have to.
Right. Yeah. No, I, it's funny, as much as I'm not a rebel in so many ways, but I have a lot of the same trend aversion that you do. And it's something that's like, I can't help it. Cause even if something's a really good idea, my trend aversion comes from this place where like, if I didn't think it up, then it feels like I'm just following the crowd and there's something I don't like about that. Or I think, well, that's a good idea, but I bet I could think of a better way to do it. That's like a totally Enneagram one thing to think.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it my own way and it's going to be even better. And so then I don't even do it at all.
Right.
So yeah, this has been on my radar as long as it's been on yours, as long as I've probably been on Instagram. That's probably where like I have seen people talk about it. So at least 6 or 7 years. And I had never done it. I did choose a word in 2018 and I didn't really say much about it, but I don't know what got me finally over. Like you said, like sometimes it just, you have to kind of come to accept that this is a thing now. We didn't think of it. We don't have anything better. So we might as well like go with the trend.
We might as well try it out. Yep.
It's funny you said The Sopranos
because
I watched The Sopranos like 20 years after it came out. So I might even be later to these parties than you.
So you've done one though, right?
Just this year. It was the first time that I chose a word and I didn't do much with it other than like in my journal. And I don't think I posted. I know I didn't post publicly on my Instagram. I might've said something on our Instagram for the Mom Hour to kind of see what everyone else's word, but I definitely didn't do much with it. So do you want to know what the word was?
Yes.
Are we not there yet?
No, please tell me.
So mine for 2018. So again, this is the year that's already passed, was heart. And so it had like kind of a dual meaning for me. Definitely, I am like a head person over a heart person normally. Like, I'm very cerebral. I think things through logically, you know, which for a lot of us who are that way, kind of can come at the expense of heart and intuition and all of that. So like getting a little bit more like paying attention more to the emotional side of things. So it had that side of heart. And then I also thought that it had some like literal and health things, like I wanted to do more cardio and like think about heart health and things like that. So it was heart.
I like that. And did you, first of all, how often would you say you really reflected on that word. In what ways, like what practical ways did you actually incorporate that word into your personal life? I know it wasn't like a public thing for you, but your personal life, like how often did you think about it?
So in the first half of the year, I actually had some structure about it. So what I did was I had a few, this is like, again, so me, because it was so structured, but I had a few like behaviors or goals or activities, little things that I wanted to kind of track weekly. So at the end of a week, I think I did this on Monday mornings, not Sunday nights, because I'm a morning person, but I would basically write in my journal and kind of look back on that week and think, how much did I read? Which was one of my things. Like how much did I don't even remember what some of them were, but they were pretty measurable things that I felt like if I were doing them regularly, then this overarching heart theme, I'd be sort of checking in these different areas. Does that make sense?
Right.
So I sort of like broke it down into, I guess, behaviors that I was for a while kind of checking in, like, how did that go this week? And then that dropped off probably in April and I didn't do it anymore.
Oh, okay.
So for a while I was paying attention to it.
And like, do you feel like ahead of, like, what do you think the effects were?
I don't know. I do think that regular, in our last episode, we talked about journaling, right? And you're like a better journaler than me. And I sometimes like, I'm not good at it anymore. So I think it gave me something to journal each week, almost like a self-report. That sounds boring, but like something to check in on each week. So I liked that part of it. I don't know how closely tied it kept me to that word. Like, I really don't know, but it was my first time doing a word. So I don't know how that compares. I've heard people say that some years it's truly like a guiding light the whole year, and other years it just kind of falls flat. So I got to figure that's okay.
Well, and I mean, there's no harm.
Right. Exactly. Like, exactly.
There's nothing bad going to happen if you come up with the word and then you get bored of it after 2 months. And,
right.
And we should talk about that as well. Something that just kind of popped into my head when you were talking is like, you know, what if the word starts to kind of run thin? Do you check back in? Can it be a moving target? Do you pick a word that's so big that it can mean lots of things?
Right.
Or do you pick a word that's a little more specific? I feel like when I did it before, I picked a word that was maybe a little too specific. And then once I felt like I'd kind of, and I want to say it was, I don't remember now what it was, but it was something like pretty measurable, I guess. So once I felt like I was measuring success, I kind of just let it go because I was bored of it. So, you know, that's one thing to think about. Although, is it so bad that I found success within a month and then forgot about it?
Right.
No, either way, it did what it was supposed to do.
It's not so bad to give yourself, like if mine lasted 3 or 4 months, that might have set my year on a really good path for 3 to 4 months. And maybe I didn't need to write myself a weekly report card every week. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's one of the reasons sometimes I think we shy away from setting intentions or goals or resolutions is this fear of not following through or that it's going to be all for nothing. And so I think we can give ourselves
every little bit counts.
Every little bit counts. So if your word inspires you just for January, you never know how setting the tone is going to impact the rest of the year, even if your behavior the rest of the year doesn't maybe look the same as it did when you were super gung-ho.
And that sometimes can be the downfall or the downside, I guess, of being like, of making these big declarations and then being super public about them, because then there's all this pressure to follow through even when you don't feel it. And then if you see other people kind of fall off the wagon or stop caring, you can start to feel like, well, nobody makes it all the way through. I don't see anyone blogging about this in August anymore.
Right.
And so like, I agree. You can let that go, even if it just gets you through a hard time of the year or like, you know, the winter or whatever it is. It all counts.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we should say that this part one of this topic is really all about, I think, kind of the feels, the side, like the big picture. We're going to talk about, I'm going to share a couple of the words I'm considering for 2019. And Sarah, hopefully you'll
I have a long list, but I'll share a few.
And then we're going to talk a little bit after the break about why, like, what is an intention? Why does it matter to your life? How is it different between your personal and parenting lives and how those two things intersect, et cetera. But then next week, we're also going to talk about some like really specific tools you can use. And I think that's where you're going to have fun with that one, Sarah.
Yeah.
Like how do you, like you were just talking about your homework assignment, your report card. Like, how do you see this through from beginning to end and make it a thing, not just this kind of idea?
And maybe like a bunch of different ways, because sometimes we're limited in what we see online as the various options. So I think there's more ways than we think to stay on track or to stick with it.
Okay, Sarah. So I'm ready to share a couple of my words.
Okay. How long have you been thinking about this?
Just really for like the last 2 weeks or so.
Okay.
And honestly, I had to sit down and write this outline, because this, I volunteered. So everyone knows Sarah usually does the outlines for these Tuesday episodes. And I volunteered to do this one. And
maybe,
then I dragged
do you think
my
I
feet.
Maybe had some burnout after the holiday, like 20 well, million episodes. I was like, yes, I can't
you
do
were
another
burned out.
One.
And then also you were like, you know, you didn't want to do this as a January 1st episode because you were, I just think, afraid that we wouldn't have anything to say before, you know, obviously, guys, we're in the land where this is being recorded. It's not January 1st yet.
No.
So I think that like I just wanted to get ahead of it because I was afraid that if I didn't start thinking about it now, it'd be January 18th and I wouldn't even have given any thought yet.
No,
but
it was
kind of
a role reversal, actually.
It was,
usually,
right?
I'm like so gung-ho to like talk about the next season. And I was like, no.
You were like,
I'm
no.
not in January yet.
Yeah. So I really, until I sat down and started really looking at the outline, I didn't think it through super clearly, but I had a couple words that kind of kept rolling around my head. So now, I'll share what they are.
Okay. I want to hear what they are. But also, at what point did you decide to do a word? Since you have been so like kind of a rebel about this or contrarian.
You said, let's do an episode about it.
Oh, okay. So it was prompted by this podcast. I didn't know if it had been rumbling around with you before that. Okay.
I mean, I think I got over myself a little bit. I'll admit when you said, well, maybe we could do something about intentions and setting word. My first thought was, ugh.
I know. Yeah, I'm with you, kind of, because that's like partly my reaction.
Because it's so done. Everybody does it, blah, blah, blah. But then I really thought, why not? It was kind of one of those get over yourself moments, you know, like, come on, Megan, get over yourself. This could be fun. And there's no reason not to, as we've determined, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to make a big deal about it. Great. I'm not going to go put it all over my social media. I'm just going to talk about it here. And, you know, it is what it is. But there are things that have been on my mind. And so I'll talk a little bit about those, what those three things are.
Okay.
And I think they all go together, which is why it's kind of tricky to choose just one. That's also the part. This is a very Megan thing. I don't like picking one of anything ever.
Right.
Because I don't like eliminating other options.
Right.
So the three that are on my mind right now are discipline, patience, and focus.
Okay.
So all those words are sort of similar.
Yeah.
And here's, it sounds boring. Like discipline, patience, and focus are not fun words. They are not nearly as sexy as like abundance,
freedom,
you know, empowerment, blah, blah, blah. But they mean more to me in a concrete way.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I struggle with. So for me, like I've had a very emotional couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hit like moments of like high stress, one thing I'm never bad at is feelings. I'm always great at that. Like I could talk feelings, my emotional capacity to be supportive to other people, to think through my own stuff, to be self-aware in that way is like off the charts, no matter what's going on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Where things start to fall apart is like cleaning my desk off or going to the gym. Like the discipline, that's something I have to really think hard about to put back into my life. Like I will not be disciplined, especially if I start to get exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a thing called discipline fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm finding myself fatigued just from like getting through the day because things are hard.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to do is apply the kind of discipline it takes to move the needle forward.
Right.
But I know that when I do that, when I am in that place where I'm focused and hustling and disciplined, I feel great. Like that's a great place for me to be. To be in that zone is a great place.
Right.
It just takes a lot of effort to get there. Patience is a little bit outside of that, but I think it fits because it takes discipline to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a patient person.
And you you like novelty. So it's kind of the like part of what energizes you is things that are new and exciting, which is not
new
a bad
exciting.
Thing.
No, but also with energy, but on a weird flip side to that, I also like resolution. Like I like to know where things are going. And if I can't see around the bend, I get really anxious, which is weird. You wouldn't think that of me. Because if I choose the new adventure, that's great. But if I am like stepping feet down this path and I'm on this path, but I don't know what's around the corner and I don't have control over it.
Yes.
I want to run around the corner. I don't just want to
you don't like that
take
limbo
my time. I don't like the limbo.
Yeah, interesting.
Which can make it hard to be disciplined about things like fitness and work. Because if I don't exactly know where something's going to go, I start to lose some, I can lose energy behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So all these things kind of go together. I think discipline's probably going to be the one because I think it affects absolutely everything else.
I love the word discipline too because it has so much good meaning. There's multiple meanings. It also
means, a verb and an adjective.
Yes.
Which I like.
And a noun. Wait. Right?
I feel like it could also be a noun too, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's
because
not
you have discipline. Yeah.
Right. You have discipline.
Yeah.
And you put discipline into effect to get your goal. Maybe it's not an adjective.
No, but the adjective would be disciplined. You are, you know.
You are disciplined. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was just thinking Mad Libs for a second. I wouldn't say, you know how you always have like, I always choose like stinky. Yeah. And like if my kids are doing it, I always pick the funny adjective. Discipline doesn't fit, but disciplined does.
Yeah.
So yeah. So that's where I'm at with it right now. We'll talk more about that also in part two, but just like, those are the things that my brain is, and they feel, discipline also feels very actionable. Like it feels like something where I can look at a day and know whether or not I exerted any discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I can just kind of remind myself of.
Yep.
So
I really,
okay,
like
anyway,
it.
So that's me.
Okay. So it's just so funny when we do things like this, and everybody who knows us well knows that these are areas where our opposites really go in truly opposite directions. Because things like discipline, patience, and focus are things that come really naturally to me. Mm-hmm. Things that do not are a lot of the things that you described as strengths for you. So it's just cool. We're just sort of like yin and yang there.
Yeah.
So I wrote down like 8 different words this morning. I'm not even going to probably read all of them. I'm going off the cuff out of my journal here, but they're mostly around the theme of letting go of a need for control. So being okay with things that are in flux or unsure or not perfect. So I have allow, accept, invite. I like the word invite.
Ooh, okay.
Because what the theme is I want to push myself to be okay when things are not okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like instead of this conditional, like I will be okay when X, Y, and Z are checked off of a list or fill in the blank. We talked about this in our December intentions with how I feel about like feeling festive at the holidays. I'm always like, okay, as soon as the presents are wrapped, then I will sit down and look at the twinkle lights. It's this very like conditional checklisty way instead of like, I'm going to feel festive in the middle of a total, you know what show.
Right.
So that's kind of inviting that, I don't know, chaos is the wrong word, but inviting imperfection maybe.
Mm.
So invite, allow, accept. I also have flow, trust, and release on here. So I'm all over the map, but do you kind of see the general direction?
These are thematically, many of them go together thematically.
Yeah.
Are any one of them really feeling right?
I would say not yet because I just started this morning, but also this is where I can get stuck because I want the best word that means all the things, you know? And I want to like have it by December 31st at midnight. Otherwise it doesn't count. So I fall down all those traps. So.
Now, what would the process look like for you? Because I know for me, what it will be is literally just what I just did, talking through it.
Mm-hmm.
And my intuition will latch onto one and that's the one I'll pick. And I'm pretty sure I already know what it is, but like, it'll just be like, okay, this is it. Let's go with it. Maybe it's not perfect. How would it look for you to actually narrow this down? At some point you have to play that game where you like count through and cross words out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I know exactly what you mean. I think actually starting this, because we are recording with a few days left in the year, starting this just this morning and having written down, I feel like that will sort of be rolling around in the back of my mind over the next several days. And one will either rise to the surface. It's also very possible there's one that I haven't thought of yet that's kind of fills this same theme. And then, I mean, once I land on it, I'll commit to it. Like I'll find it. And then last year, so I already have my new notebook, my Moleskine notebook for 2019. Mm. And last year I wrote it on the first page and I kind of journaled in those first couple of days of the year on the word, just kind of like free form. So I would probably do that again, just to kind of like, here's why I chose it and what it means. And then, like we said, if that's all I ever do, I think that's okay.
Yeah, I totally agree. Okay, I feel like we're ready to maybe take our break.
Okay.
And then come back for part two.
All right.
What you think?
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right. Okay, guys. I'm excited today to talk about our sponsor, Warby Parker. So I wear glasses, and I have to say one of the worst things about wearing glasses is going to buy new glasses because you get into the optometrist's office and like the lighting is never good and there's a million frames in there and the prices are all over the place. And I feel like when I'm trying glasses on outside my natural environment, I have no idea if I'm actually going to like the way they look. So Warby Parker has this free home try-on program that solves all those problems. What you do is you go on their website, you order 5 pair of glasses, they send them to you and you try them on for 5 days with no obligation to buy. It ships to your house free. There's actually a prepaid return shipping label. So when you're done trying them on, you can just send it on back. And what I love about this is you can try them on in front of your friends. You can go outside and try them on. You can take a selfie and put it on Instagram and see what other people like. Like you have all these different options. And once you decide what you like, you can go to warbyparker.com and order your glasses starting at $95. And that includes your prescription lenses. The lenses include anti-glare and anti-scratch coatings. And for every pair you buy, a pair is actually distributed to someone in need. If you have an iPhone X, you can actually download Warby Parker's app and you can use their new feature, which is called Find Your Fit. This is really cool. It uses the iPhone's true depth camera to map and measure your facial features. And then it can actually recommend Warby Parker frames to you that are likely the best fit for your face. So that process is really cool. It only takes a few seconds if you have an iPhone X. But either way, I have found that their glasses are great and I have really enjoyed many pair of their frames. So what you're going to do to check out this offer and try it out is go to warbyparker.com/themomhour to order your free home try-on. Again, that's warbyparker.com/themomhour. And you're going to get those 5 pairs of frames to try out for free.
I love it.
Okay, so we're back for part 2. And this is when we're really going to dive into, besides just this word, like what is an intention in quotes? And then why does it matter to us, not just as women, but as moms? And then we can also talk about, are there ways, if something like the one word thing doesn't sound right to you, are there other ways to do this? And I think, yes, there are a million ways to do this that we can, we'll really dig into those next on the part 2, but I think we can also brush, like, just touch on that today.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought up this question because I think one of the reasons I almost resisted the word is because the word of the year thing for a while is because the idea of an intention and a word sounds so vague to me. And I am someone who likes specificity and like measurable action. At the same time, I'm not actually a great goal setter or resolution maker either. So I don't know, that's for like a different conversation. But this idea of intention being felt a little bit nebulous to me. And I think the more I've learned and the more I've thought about it, I don't think it is nebulous. I think it can really be a guide and a, I don't know, like, how would you say it? Like a guide.
It's just one part of the puzzle. I wrote down a mantra down in the outline, but it's the same kind of idea, right? Like, it's not the whole thing. You don't just say a mantra and then that's your set.
Right.
The whole idea is the mantra guides you, like you said, to behave differently in the moment or to see things in a new light or whatever it is. So you can combine that. Sometimes I've had years where I've written a mission statement for myself. Again, I don't publish it anywhere. That creates a level of pressure sometimes I think can be unhelpful.
Yeah.
Or I can create accountability and that can be great. But like, I think sometimes when it's something so personal and so kind of so subjective, it's not like anyone's going to look at you and know if you're doing it or not.
Right.
So it's like the accountability is good, but only if there's something specific you can be held accountable to.
Yeah. Before. And I think having an intention at sort of like the macro level here can actually be really helpful if you do struggle with making specific goals. So, or aligning your behavior to that intention. So I'll just use one of my examples from December. We did an episode a month ago called December Intentions for Moms about kind of how we wanted to be this holiday season. And I said that one of mine was let my heart be light. And I put that on my letter board. But there were times throughout December where that, first of all, that's just sort of cheesy and vague. And I put it on my letter board. But there were times when I referred back to it and thought, does my behavior match this intention? It doesn't.
Yes.
I'm holding on too tightly, or I'm being controlling, or I'm being grumpy about something. And my whole goal is to let my heart be light. So I don't know. It can be vague and nebulous, but it can also help you anchor some specific behavior changes and then drill down into the nitty gritty of like, okay, what do I need to do in order to let my heart be light? I probably need to, you know, schedule less stuff or, you know, get an hour extra of sleep or whatever it is. That then it can trickle down or drill down into the actionable goals.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, the thing is, we are faced with so many choices in a day. Like right now, after we're done recording, I'm going to stand up and walk out of my room and I'm going to have 7 different choices about what I can do. There's 107, but 7 probably right in front of my face. And having just a word in my head or like a phrase or a mantra or whatever it is might allow me to eliminate 5 of them right off the bat.
Oh, I like that.
And then between the 2 that are left, maybe one feels a little more right. Maybe one lines up, and it's just being thoughtful. It's the whole idea is you're living with intention. You're being intentional, which is the whole point, is that you're not just reacting to stimuli. You're not just going through life like a single cell organism, you know, like you're using your mind and critical thinking and your spirit and all those things that make you to make a choice in a moment. And we have a million opportunities to do that throughout the year.
I totally agree. And I think a lot of times moms in the trenches get out of the habit of any doing any kind of self-reflection, any kind of what do I want? What would make this experience better for me? And we talked a lot about that in our holiday episodes the last few weeks, of kind of reclaiming some of that enjoyment of the season. So basically, I'm in favor of anything that has moms sitting down and thinking about their own inner self, whatever it is, whether it's a word or a mantra or goals, because I know for me, there were many years where I just didn't do any of that.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about this, like what this looks like in the a life of a mom. And I think for you, it's going to look very different than for me, but like that mom in the trenches thing, one thing that just occurred to me as you were saying that is when I was really in the trenches with little kids, I felt like my life was so hard that I felt so tapped out on doing hard things.
Yes.
All the time, that when I kind of cleared that hurdle and what life wasn't so hard, I felt like I deserved like a 10-year break from anything hard. I swear, like, I don't think I really thought about it, but I was like, oh my gosh, things got easier. So now I'm just going to kind of lean into the ease. Like I'm just, and that's great. Like it's great to give yourself a break, but you can't just lean into easy forever because then you start to get soft and sloppy.
Right.
You know? So it's like that yin and yang. And I'm wondering if that felt different for you or like how you've kind of experienced that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think I've talked about how I really kind of forgot what it was like to have any kind of leisure time or any kind of time and space to think. And I think, I mean, you're just over 40. I'm pushing 40. We're not the only two 40-year-old women who start to like do a lot of self-reflection. Right. Like it's, you know, it's just something that you do as you get older. But I think I just didn't, I was so out of practice of having any time or minute to myself in my own head that it has taken me a while to think, oh, like, okay, I could think about this. I could set an intention. Right. I could, any of it.
Yeah. The thing that I was thinking about earlier was if I took something like the words I'm talking about and applied them to my life now as a mom, something like patience might be like, okay, so say as when I leave here, I'm going to walk out into my living room and I know for a fact that Isaac is sitting on the living room sofa with his earbuds in and his eyes closed. I don't know what he's doing, but that's what last I saw him. That's what he was doing. Claire is in her room drawing. Everyone's just kind of milling around. So now if I had patience on my mind, how might I approach that moment differently of walking into that room?
Yeah.
Where I still have things I have to do that would mean walking all the way through the house to the kitchen or walking out to my car and leaving or whatever. How might I make those 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes different if I had patience on my mind? Or if it was something like a morning routine or like, you know, dinner time or something like that, having the discipline to create a routine that leaves enough open space and time to even be patient to begin with is another thing. So it's like everything affects everything.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. My wheels are turning. I'll have to report back on my chosen word. Cause I feel this will require by next week for sure. By our follow-up.
You'll be thinking on this for a little bit. Well, let's talk about some alternatives to the one word intention, because like, what if you just can't narrow it down?
Yeah.
And I mentioned mission statement. Another idea that I had is that maybe you could rotate through a new word every month or quarter.
I don't think that we
don't have to have it. So I don't know. Like we don't need to be so legalistic about these things, right?
I like to be legalistic, Megan.
I know. But what if you, okay.
Yeah.
But much like you said with your, with the episode where we talked about, and recently we just we revisited this topic and I don't even remember when. We've been doing so many episodes, I certainly lose track, but we talked about how sometimes if you state how something that you're already doing but feeling bad about, if you state it as the way things are in a rule, it feels different.
Yeah, agreed.
So you could decide, if you can't choose, you could decide you're going to do a word per quarter.
Yeah, or I'm going to have 3 words for the year or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. Another thing that helps me, if I'm not feeling like I can find that word or that mantra on my own, is I'm a big reader of all kinds of self-help and personal development books. So I think that's another really good, I find that if I'm reading a book for a few minutes every morning, even if I'm, it could be a parenting book, it could be more of like a personal development book, something inspirational. It stays with me in a way, in the same way a word stays with you. And it just has that little, like a gentle nudge toward more of the behavior that I want to have. And so I don't even have a specific book recommendation, but
I have one for you.
Okay, great.
It's for you specifically.
Oh, great.
It popped into my head when you were talking about uncertainty. There's an author. Her name is, I don't know how to pronounce her name. Pima Chodron.
Oh, yes. I know that.
She's
author.
Got multiple mm-hmm. umlauts. So it's like, I think it's an umlaut, the two dots over the O's.
Uh-huh.
An umlaut?
I think so.
So how do you pronounce that? Chodron?
I think it's Pima Chodron. I mean, I think you Chodron? Were pretty close. We've now butchered it four times, so let's move
well,
on.
Well, someone I'm sure will let us know. Someone could like leave us a voice message of them yeah. saying her name. Anyway, she wrote a book called Comfortable with Uncertainty.
Oh, that sounds like my word of the year. I'm writing it down.
It does. Okay. So that one I think is something that you, and what I found, it was very easy to read. She's very like reassuring.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just one of those books that really resonated with me. And I like self-help, but sometimes I find them to be a little drippy.
Yes.
You know, self-help books. And this one was one that it felt more straightforward.
Yeah.
And I liked her approach a lot.
I always see quotes by her and I'm just familiar with her, but I don't think I've ever read a whole book. So I will have to check that one out. And then I love Brené Brown. So any of Brené Brown stuff. I also think that if you are in the thick of little years and a lot of what is stressing you is kid behavior, I think that certain parenting books can actually give you kind of a mindset shift where you at least feel like you're learning and have some new tools in your tool belt. So while it sounds maybe counterintuitive to say, well, a parenting book could help you with your own like mom life, but I think mm-hmm. sometimes we feel so devoid of resources or like just like we're floundering, right? Like your toddler, you now have a toddler instead of a baby and they're throwing fits every 30 minutes. Like that will stress you personally as a mom. And I always felt in those years, if I was doing a little bit of reading about, you know, whatever behavior, child development, anything like that, it just made me like kind of appreciate my role a little bit more and like everything my kids were going through. And mm-hmm. it felt a little bit lighter. So that is a different kind of personal development. It's developing you as a parent. But I think like we said, this all overlaps. So I think especially in the little years that can be helpful.
Reading and writing. I found mm-hmm. that when I was writing about my kids and when I really came to it from this perspective of this is how I'm going to try to elevate this experience a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, like
yes.
what's the story I can yeah. tell about my life as yeah. a mom that's not misery and, yes. and stress and yes. just tired all the time. It really helped me reframe things as they were happening. And mm-hmm. I think it was one of the biggest, it had a huge effect on the way I parented. So yes. I was doing it as blogging, you know, for 2009, I was really heavily blogging. But before that, I was writing a lot about parenting. I did a column starting in like 2004. And it was just like a little, or even if you're just jotting things down in a journal, it's just helpful to be like, how do I want to feel about myself as a mom? How do I want to feel about my life with my kids? And how do I tell this story?
Yeah.
In that way.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. I don't know. I think I have some homework to do.
I know.
But in time for the real January 1st, not the one that is
the fake one that we just made up. But again, you guys, if you're listening to this on the 1st, don't feel like you have to like, you know, stress out and like have a word today.
You'll not
have
at
time.
All. Yeah.
Because you have to wait a whole other week because we're going to help you in a week by giving you some, you know, tools and resources to help you narrow that down.
I love that. I love that. I'm excited. Okay. So come back to us next week, guys. And then also I wanted to mention this Friday, we do have our first Voices interview up of the year. We are wasting no time. And it is an interview with a potty training expert. So I know a lot of you are going to be tuning in for that one.
Yes.
If your toddler's New Year's resolution is to lose the diapers, I'm sure it is.
And if your intention is to be chill about the potty training process or all of life in general, then this will be a good one.
It will be a good one for you. And then so next Tuesday, we'll be back with part two of this conversation. If you are a brand new subscriber, first of all, welcome, or brand new listener, I should say. The first thing you should do is subscribe because that will make sure that all of our episodes drop into your podcast feed. So if some other mom sent you our podcast, thank them for us. And we thank you for being here. We have a page just for new listeners on our website. I will link it up in the show notes, but you go to themomhour.com and look for the button that says new start here. And on that page, we have a whole bunch of resources for how to connect with us. And also some of our favorite episodes are listed there. So if you're looking at the archives thinking, holy moly, these ladies don't stop talking ever. We have a few special episodes that we picked just for you, for new listeners. So go check that out. And Megan, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and Happy New Year to everyone out there. We will be back very soon.
Talk to you soon.